Think of our Lord Jesus coming from the glories of heaven, where he is worshiped day and night by the angels, by the spirits of just men already in heaven. Think of how he looks into the face of his Father in pure, perfect worship and harmony. And then he is translated down into this world as he was in his incarnation into Mary's womb and born into Bethlehem in a manger. And he sees a world that is so wretched, a world that is so filled with vanity, men quibbling over empty things that satisfy not. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and today we come to this parable of the rich fool, the man who would build greater barns, but firstly pull down his own. He was living in high expectation of a bumper crop, and he hoped that he would have goods for many years to come. Well, many build on great expectations. You've heard, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Many people so put their confidence and trust in the things and the material things of this world that they make no preparation for heaven. And the Lord said to this man, O fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What if that was said to you? What if your life was suddenly to end? Would you be ready for eternity? Would you be ready to meet God? Let this message minister to your heart, and I trust that you will get ready to meet the Lord. Luke 12 and verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your hearts be also. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're moving right now to our ministry here at our Free Presbyterian Church, bringing you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Stay tuned right to the end. May God bless you through his word today. Father, we ask today that you will sit amongst us and minister to us. Gather us as you did your disciples and minister to us. Oh, that we may hear your voice and that we may follow thee with all our hearts. We ask thee to revive us again that thy people might rejoice in thee. And we pray that you will grant repentance and faith that sinners might look to Jesus and be this day born of the Spirit, saved by grace, and enter into the kingdom of God. O Lord, help in preaching today. Come alongside and help. Be our hope and our portion. In our Savior's name, amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles again, please, at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm not sure if I have one text or verse, but maybe verse 15 would lead us into the message today. Luke 12, 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I want you to imagine this morning a dweller on a lonely, primitive South Sea island, hardly ever reached by the outer world. And suddenly he leaves that world of that island life, and he's dropped off in the city of New York. What a different world. Times Square, he sees the neon lights flashing, the horns honking, throngs of people on the streets. He goes into buildings, and for the first time, he meets with escalators and elevators and busboys, and he comes back out onto the streets to see the yellow taxis. And then he's taken down into the subway and realizes another world underneath this city. And as he's getting adjusted to all of new life in such a New York City, suddenly he's translated back to island life again. There amongst his own people, he sees them bickering, fighting, trading over rocks and feathers and the simplest little things, all of these things, and he's disgusted. They don't even know what's out there in that bigger world. Think of our Lord Jesus coming from the glories of heaven, where he is worshipped day and night by the angels, by the spirits of just men already in heaven. Think of how he looks into the face of his Father in pure, perfect worship and harmony. And then he is translated down into this world as he was in his incarnation into Mary's womb and born into Bethlehem in a manger. And he sees a world that is so wretched, a world that is so filled with vanity, men quibbling over empty things that satisfy not. During the ministry of the Lord Jesus with his disciples, he came across these two brothers who were having a feud, a family fight over an inheritance. One of the brothers, seeing something of the authority that was in the Lord, of how he commanded people to do things, he said, "Command my brother to divide the inheritance with me." As we read Luke 12, we see that the Lord Jesus had absolutely no interest in mediating or adjudicating this family problem. He didn't say he would. He didn't say a word to the other brother. He just said to the one who asked him in verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." How many hearts are burdened and troubled about family inheritances? Happens all the time. There's probably lawyers that make a full-time living on trying to sort out problems amongst families on inheritances. Might even be a specialty in law today. As you know, we have lawyers for everything, and they probably just love these cases. The more complicated, the more entangled, and the more grievous, all the better for the lawyer, because it means more time and more court cases. It's a plague in society. It's still more grieving to find that a vast number of people in this world reject the kingdom of God because of their compulsion to find earthly riches, the things that are really empty and vain and not lasting, temporary. And they make wretched choices because they go after the temporary things and they end up losing their own soul. The Lord Jesus put it very well in verse 15 when he said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Is that your thinking today? I don't think it is the thinking of Canadians at large. I don't think it's the thinking of traders and merchants and retailers and people that buy and sell. No, their goal is to accumulate things. And people do analyze and say the more things that you're attached to or assets that you can claim, that is the better life. I want to take up this well-spoken truth of the Lord Jesus, this statement that a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. And I want to nail it today. I want to just hammer it home to your heart what the Lord really said. When you look at it closely, you see here in verse 15 that the need of our souls is not in material things. Now, the Lord Jesus went on to tell a very crystal clear parable of a farmer who was doing very well. And this year, he had a particularly good crop in the making. Mind you, he's a bit like those who count the chicken before they hatch, because he had all things counted up before the crop was in the barn. And he was planning to build greater barns and to take his ease in retirement. Now, this was all his musing and his own inner thoughts. And we're told here, then verse 17, that he began to talk to himself. Well, actually, it says he thought within himself. And so all the gears were working in his mind. What am I going to do? And we're told here in verse 17, "What shall I do?" And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater." And of course, he was going to stash all these crops into these larger barns. And then with those goods, take ease and somewhat retire on that. Look at verse 19. "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And of course, this is how men think. This is the scheming and the planning of the vast number of men in the world today. When I was a teenager and a young man, that's how I thought. The love of the world and the schemes of the world and the thought of accumulating more of this world consumed me. Might be someone here today, and that really sums up your life. What is your life? It is an energetic attempt to accumulate. That's it. That's it. But the gospel is not about providing for the body. It is about providing for the soul. And this farmer's soul, we are told, was required that very night, the night of his thinking. And he had an appointment with God that he must keep. And none of these riches would be of any value to him at the bar of God. Would make any difference what the tonnage was per acre or how full the barns were when he would stand before his Maker. And all these earthly things have absolutely no value in heaven. In fact, they may be a hindrance, because this world is under the curse. A Christian, a Bible reader and Bible believer, must accept the premise that this world is cursed. It's under God's judgment. It is not eternal. It will not last. It will not endure. Indeed, when you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want you to do that with me, you see that everything in this world is headed for a final burning. You think of the millions of acres that are burning right now in this province. You think of the volcanoes that are erupting in the world. And just multiply that into a global sight. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, you have the Apostle Peter saying, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." Notice that word, underline it, dissolved. The barns, the crops, the material things, the stock market, the banks, the money, the gold, the silver, dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. When we stand before God, the issues will not be the stuff of life, but it will be the sins of our life. Get that? Will not be your stuff, the material possessions. It will be the sins that you've accumulated that cry out and point out, guilty, guilty, guilty. And then you will stand to give account before God. No man can claim to be rich toward God who is living with the guilt of sin. And that's what I want you to be. I want you to be rich toward God. I want to preach to you today about gospel prosperity. Now, there are those phony preachers that talk about God wants you to be rich. He wants you to have acres and lands and millions and mansions. God might want you to be the poorest worm in the world and yet make you rich, gospel rich, by having faith in his Son and finding all the riches that are in the Lord Jesus. Peace with God will not be found in our earthly status or our money, but in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And the real riches when we meet God after death will be gospel riches. They will be with what you have understood of the cross. That great event where God sent his Son to reconcile the world to himself, where all the sins of man were laid upon the Savior. And the question will be, have your sins been washed away when Christ be made atonement on that cross? Have your sins been confessed and laid upon him? Has the blood cleansed you? The riches on that day will be the basis of faith and repentance, and all that has been brought into your soul by faith and by grace. If you have none of these things, you're going to die a fool, as this farmer did, because he plotted and schemed and prepared for this world, but did not plan for heaven. Oh, fool, it's seeming strange that in this fallen world, this love of the world, this love of things, material stuff, why is it that love money? Because it's what money can buy, the things you can possess. And that driving agenda is burned into your heart by sinful nature. We're prone to it. We're plagued with it. We are burdened by it. And many think it's the only way to be somebody is to have great possessions. That might be your thinking right now. But here the Lord Jesus hit it on the head that a man's life is not based upon the things that he possesseth or the abundance of things that he possesseth. Material things can do nothing for your soul. Secondly, no man knows the hour when his soul will be required. To hoard an abundance of riches would make sense if we knew that we would live to enjoy them for a long, long period of time. It's not going to happen. What you have, you will leave behind. Naked we come into the world, and naked we will leave this world. Now, this farmer counted on many years, obviously. He talked about laying up for many years, taking ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That was his plan, but it didn't happen. To his horror, he would not even see that harvest brought in. He did not even see the foundation for a barn to be built, never mind the roof on. He was summoned into eternity that night, and all of his earthly plans and all of his material dreams came to nothing. And no one knows the hour of his death. I attended two funerals this week. Death is by divine appointment. God has a date, an hour, and a place for our decease. It's in his book. Death is a secret appointment. None of us are given forenotice, but it is certain. It is appointed unto man once to die. The word appointment, I looked it up. I clicked the little number on my computer concordance, and it brings me up a definition of the word appointed. It means a reservation. Like going to a restaurant, you make a reservation. Appointment is made. I know for a restaurant, you might not show up, but this appointment you're going to keep. And this farmer did keep that appointment that night. And only God has the time and the circumstances. And as our Creator, that's his prerogative. He has every right. He gives us life. He gives us the breath. He gives us the time that we have in this world. And he has the right to make that appointment on our behalf. And you and I are going to be there. We're not going to opt out. We're not going to run away from it. We're not going to miss that appointment. And therefore, the urgency of the matter rings loud and clear. Look at chapter 12:31. Luke 12:31. I would call this the conclusion, the bottom line of this whole event, and the wisdom of the Lord speaking here. He says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, that now becomes the priority of the believer in Christ. The worldly man, he seeks material things, and if God blesses it, that's okay. But the Christian turns that upside down or turns it around, and he seeks the kingdom of God, and God promises, all these things shall be added unto you. As we keep our eye on honoring and following the Lord, trusting in him, he will take care of the food we need, the clothes we need. That's all in this chapter. We read it. He talks about clothing the fields and the lilies. Be not anxious for the morrow shall take care of itself. That's the Christian life now. We seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto us. Are you doing that? That's the Christian way.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I do sincerely count it a great privilege to bring the message of God to you today through the airwaves over radio. And I pray that this word will give you a heart that is receptive to the need to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior and get right with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so he is the only Savior. He's the only way to the Father. And he will save you if you call upon him. If you seek him with all your heart, you will be saved. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus that will make you as white as snow. You need to have a new heart that is changed from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh that is malleable and listening to the voice of God. Now, if I can help you in your search to know the Savior, if I can even just open the Bible and point to a Bible verse, have you pray over it to seek the Lord, then I'll be glad to help you. And all the details are coming up now in these closing announcements. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website, www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, he is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.